But you really need to get the weight of what we're in the last days. Amen. And so, in the midst of all that, God will keep me in the midst of it all. Who believes that? Who believes God will keep keeping you in the midst of the tribulation that we're about to occur? And if you think what we're going through is tribulation now, this is kindergarten to what will happen. Amen. We will not experience God's wrath as God's people because of the blood of the Lamb. But we will experience wrath. That's the truth. So we need to be a people that are strong in this hour, that know our God like never before. We need to know the Father's heart in the midnight hour that the cry is coming. Amen. We need to be part of that company that has oil in my lamp. I need to be part of that company that awakens, trims my wick, because I hear the trumpet of trumpet, the bridegroom cometh, the bridegroom cometh. And I need to be awakened by the Spirit of God in this hour we're living in like never before, ensuring I can draw on that which is inside the vessel to keep the lamp lit. Amen. Don't get me wrong. I'm no different to the rest of them. They all slept. Every one of them. Amen. But I soon awakened when the midnight hour cries, and he will cry. We don't know when. That's why we need to stay sharp all the time. Amen. Because one of the wiles of the enemy is when the love of many waxes, wax does not instant freeze. It's a gradualism. It cools slowly. Amen. I need to keep that lamp lit. I need to keep that candle lit in this hour so nothing solidifies around me and I'm fluid with him. So he can mold me and shape me and bend me and do whatever he wants. He can shape what that wax wherever he wants while it's still liquid. Amen. The last thing I want God to do is get a knife out and shape me. I'd rather be poured. Don't get a knife on me. Hallelujah. Anyway, heart after God. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you this morning for your word. We ask you, my God, that we have ears to hear what your Spirit is saying. Above all, Father, we want to know in this hour how to live and how to act and how to do according to your purpose. Because the heart of your people should be, Lord, let your kingdom come. Lord, come, Lord Jesus, come. So, Father, we say, awaken our hearts this morning by your Spirit. Lord, we don't want it to be a flesh thing. I don't want to be entertained. Father, I need a deposit of the anointing of God. That oil in my lamp in this hour like never before. In Jesus' name, amen. So, part four of A Man After God's Heart. David was a man after God's own heart because he submitted himself to the shepherd. He submitted himself to the shepherd. That is the key. Obedience is one of the greatest keys of getting the heart of God, is to be obedient to the voice of God. You shall know my disciples, number one, for the love, and also that they obey my commandments. Amen. He submitted to God, the shepherd of his own soul, God. By doing so, the boy became the man. And you've heard me preach this a few times where there's three levels, or actually there's four levels, of maturity in a Christian's walk. There's the babe, there's the child, there's the son, and there's the father. Amen? And to transition from that place to that place, you will have to get alone with God. In fact, if you don't get alone with God, God will get alone with you. He will corral you. He will cause you to get into a place where you will have to cry out to him and him alone. He will take every stage prop from underneath you. That stage prop can be belief systems. That stage prop can even be people, where you're leaning on people more than you're leaning on God. Amen. He can remove that, and he will remove that. And he'll get the Jacob in you to become the Israel of you. Amen. He will transform your life. Because, and even in the midst of all that, in the midst of the transformation, in the midst of Jacob understanding who he really was in God, he understood something else far more powerful than even that. He understood the name of God, and he understood that God changed his walk forever and gave him a limp. So he was reminded in his walk that he met with his God. Amen. God sometimes will cause you to have a limp in life, to bring a memory of him, to know him, to understand him. Amen. And but will God will get you alone to do that. And there's nothing wrong with being alone with God. But what God does object to is you being lonely. He never intended anyone to be lonely, because he's with you in season, out of season. You heard it this morning. He never leaves me, nor does he forsake me. You have no right to feel lonely. If you're feeling lonely, there's a disconnection of fellowship. And you've got to say, Lord, what have I done wrong? What have I done wrong? Not what has God done wrong, because God's never wrong. He's never wrong. Therefore, if there's a disconnect, I've got to get before him and say, God, what have I done? Why do I feel the way I'm feeling? Why am I experiencing the things I'm experiencing? And he will touch it. He will touch it. He may cause a limp to happen, to change your walk. Amen? Forever. Hallelujah. This boy became a man with a passion for the Lord's presence, with a hunger for the Lord's will and a longing for his ways. It's in this transition from boyhood to manhood, the prophet Samuel, under the direction of the Holy Spirit, anointed him. And he went back to his sheep. He was anointed. He was prophesied over. Yet he went back to the sheep. He didn't stand there in this glory of, well, look at me, brothers. He didn't brag about that. He probably said, thank you, Samuel. God bless. I'm going back to the presence of the Lord with the sheep. He didn't mind being in that lonely place. And that's, I'll rephrase that lone place with the Lord. He anointed him. He went back to his sheep all the time, growing and learning. That's why God gets you alone, to grow you, to teach you. Amen. All the time, the Holy Spirit is teaching these things in the place of being alone with him. In them times, sometimes, most of the time, nearly all the time, your faith will be tested. Your faith will be tested. Because you see, there's only two people that knows what comes out of your mouth. You and him. There's only two people that know the thoughts of your mind. You and him. He will test you. So I can look pious on the outside, yet live like a devil on the inside. Don't look at me strange. It's the truth. You can smile at someone and be thinking evil at the same time. And it's in them alone times that he brings transition to your thinking. He brings transition to the way you feel and the way you act, because he wants to get the Father heart into you that you can love the unlovely. That you can love them as he loves. Amen? Think on them as he thinks on them. So he tests my faith. He proves to, and in the time of this testing of alone, they can be proved that the devourer sometimes will come and consume. You might have to have a fight in your alone time. David had to fight his lion and his bear in his alone time. No one saw it. No one patted him on the back. Well done, David. You know, what's that new coat? Oh, it's a lion skin. No one said that to him. No one said that to him. He fought his lion, he fought his bear when he was alone. Amen? He was alone, physically. But he was with someone in the spirit. Amen? In fact, David brags about it when he meets Israel's army. He says, he told Saul, the king, I grabbed the lion by its beard. One translation says he grabbed it by its mouth and I killed it. He clubbed it to death. And now I'm talking about this ruddy young man killing a lion. Anyone ever killed a lion or a bear? Yeah. And usually that's with Mortine. But it's the truth. You've got to understand this man's mind, this young man's mindset had been transformed and transfigured because he got alone with his God and he had a confidence, not in his strength. Because the Bible says he was ruddy. He was a young man. He was 17. But something rose in him that he had to protect the father's sheep. Do you know, something should rise in us to protect the father's sheep. Each one of us. Something rose in him. He was anointed. Something rose in him that he had to protect the father's sheep. So, some of the battles are from within and some of them were without. David had two battles, big battles, personal battles. He had a battle with Goliath and he had a battle with Saul. Two different ways. Two different ways. One on the outside, one from the inside. And sometimes your battles on the outside, but sometimes your battles are on the inside. Amen. Saul was a brother who was led by his soul. He was king, anointed king. He was led by his soul. He was full of envy. He was full of bitterness and anger, resentment, and then at times tears and repentance and calling for mercy. Saul was a man of the soul. Goliath, his other enemy, was the voice of intimidation, a focus of dismay. I'll just go back to Saul for a minute. When Saul got anointed in chapter 10, 1 Samuel, verse 1, it says that Samuel anointed him with a flask of oil. Is that what it says? You can look it up if you want. It's true. A flask is a man-made object. And sometimes, just sometimes, people are placed in position in the kingdom of God, and it's really their soul. It is not the anointing of heaven. It can be charisma that places someone in position. It can be ability. It can be financial. David, in chapter 17, was anointed by Samuel. Yes? Do we agree with that? It says, and Samuel poured the horn of oil on him. A horn is a God-made thing. He had a God anointing. That's why nothing could stop David fulfilling what God desired. Saul was chosen by man. David was chosen by God. Amen. My Bible says you have an anointing, if you're born again here this morning, from the Holy One. You do not have to be Pentecostal to receive that. You have an anointing. You can have the spirit of discernment, which is from the anointing of God. So therefore, this anointing is given by the horn of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. He said, I will send you another. Amen. Goliath was the voice of intimidation, a focus of dismay, discouragement, distress, and depression. That's what dismay means. Discouragement, depression, and distress. Society today is medicated more than ever before for stress. Ever before. And it's because the enemy tries to put weights on me. Don't get me wrong. Not all stress and distress is a devil. Some of it is actually physical. But when you're going in, out of this place in your head, and some days you're not, so, and it's not a medical condition, it could be the oppression of a devil. In the Gospels, this devil comes out of a man's house and he says this. It says the house was swept and cleaned. and all things put in order. The devil was walking down the street looking for another house. Footnote hint. A devil needs a body. Whether it's a pig or a human. But it needs a body. Are you with me? A devil does not live in a chair. A devil does not live in a chandelier. A devil does not live in something that has not got breath. He needs a body. Amen? So this devil was walking out with seven devils worse than himself. Is that right? He said to the other devils, let us go back to my... Is that what he said? Let's go back to my what? My house. It's not up there, so you won't see it. They returned and went and entered the man's life again, seven times worse. Is that what the Bible says? Seven times worse. Why could he allow to enter that house? It was empty. And number one, you will never read in Scripture where the Lord sweeps. He washes. Jesus never sweeps nothing. He washes things. This house was only swept. This house was put in order. It looked right. It looked that had all the facade of everything, but it was only swept. The house needs to be washed. Are you with me? That's why some people struggle in their Christianity because they only allow the broom to get in their life instead of the washing of the water of the Word. You will not get what you need from me. You will get what you need from Him. I can help you with tidbits, but why come to me for tidbits when you can go to the author of the book? You need fellowship with your God. More than ever before in this day, you need fellowship with your God. Refuse to be swept. Say, God, wash me. God, change me. God, help me. I need the washing, and that brings a regeneration in my soul. Amen? But it will cause me to bow my knee. It will cause me to humble myself before the King. But sweeping thinks you've got rights. It's still my house. When you belong to Jesus, you lose your rights. Get back to it, David. I'm losing him. He's the voice of doubt. This Goliath's the voice of doubt. He's the voice of fear. He's the mountain of impossibility. Can you flick me that picture of this man? I'm going to show you this man. See that man? He's called the gentle giant. Largest man that ever lived that's been recorded. All right? That's his family. That's his dad at the site. He is 9'2". I've got a table I'll show you in a minute. He is 9'2". At 8 years old, he was 180 centimeters. 180 centimeters. He was so strong at eight, he could pick his father up in the father's armchair and carry him upstairs. At eight. All right? Can you just give me the other one? That's his dad. He's 18. He only lived till 22. He's 18. Show me the graph. Yeah, this is his shoe. The shoe next to that one's size 12. He's a big boy. Gentle giant. Amen. But very, very, very strong. Can you show me the graph one? Is there a graph one? I did a table. You haven't got it? Oh. Oh, it's on the slides. It's on my slides. I just need to show you it before I go on. I want you to reference this man to Goliath. Goliath was another 300 millimeters or 1 foot taller. That man, when he died, the coffin with him in it weighed 465 kilos. 20 men to carry the coffin. 20 men. Amen. His heaviest, probably at 20, he weighed 230 kilos. Goliath was bigger. This man had to wear braces on his legs because he couldn't support himself. And he had a stick from a young age. Goliath never went to battle in a wheelchair. Goliath was built like the barn door. And yet he was 1 foot taller. So even this bloke would have had to look up to him. Amen. David understood that he killed the lion, he killed the bear. 1 Samuel 17, and we're not going to go through all of it because we haven't got time. Please read it for yourselves. Does anyone not know the story of David and Goliath? Oh, good. So we all welcome reference to that. David understood that there will be contention in life between Goliath, that had to die, and Saul, that had to be dethroned. We all will fight our Goliaths, the one of intimidation, the voice of fear, the scoffer, the intimidator, the one that tries to enslave me and focus and try and keep me focused on his size and my problem, or the size of my problem, and keep me captive to my fears. That's what Goliath does. Didn't he intimidate Israel? Didn't he for 40 days and 40 nights go out and intimidate Israel? 40 days and 40 nights. Eventually, Jesse, David's dad, said to David, take some grain and take some bread to your brothers and give some cheese to the captains and report back to me. So David went down and there was a big hurrah, hurrah, because the army of Israel actually got out of their little ranks, their little trenches, and went down. They went down while Goliath wasn't seen. The minute Goliath was seen, they all ran back. Now, when a bloke like that comes out, his shoe is probably taller than me. And that's why I wanted to bring perspective. He was huge. Oh, it's over here. He was huge. David gets there, drops off the cheese, gives his brothers the grain and the bread. He's having a look at Israel, running back. What's going on here? May I just improvise for a little bit, because I do like getting involved in their lives. What's going on here? And he's looking. The first question that David says is, what shall be done for a man that just kills this bloke? He didn't say, wow, he's huge. Never mentioned his size. What's going to be done for a bloke? So, no taxes. Anyone want no taxes? No tax. First thing you mention, no taxes. Oh, and you'll get his daughter's wife. You'll get his daughter as a wife. I don't think it was the daughter that inspired him. No taxes. So he says, don't worry about that. I'll fix that up. I'll fix it. I'll go and fight for him. That word got back to the king. Can you imagine someone speaking something and it gets the ear of a king? David was intimidated by what he saw, and it certainly didn't change his vocabulary. That when Israel got back to the ranks, they said to one another, did you see the size of that man? Because fear does that. Fear concentrates on the size of the problem. Fear concentrates on the issue and it stops you moving forward. Fear will stop you moving forward to such a point where you withdraw. The whole army withdrew. Amen? The whole army withdrew. David started speaking out, sprouting out. Bit of a young buck. Started sprouting out. Don't worry about all that. I'll fix this up. He gets before Saul. Saul calls him. Come here, you young buck. Saul calls him. He goes before Saul and says, tell them not to worry, king. I'll look after you. I've killed the lion. I've killed the bear. Have you seen how big a lion is compared to him? Don't worry about it, king. He says, all right, here's my armor. Footnote hint. In any battle, you can't walk in other people's stuff. You can't walk in other people's victories. You can't walk in other people's stuff. What David understood was this. When he went out there, he wasn't alone. Saul couldn't go out there because the anointing had left him. David went before him. David decided that what he had heard, because his brothers were indignant to him, of course, what he had heard, he says, isn't there a cause to get angry and upset that this infidel, this Philistine, has defied the armies of the living God? Something rises up in a man or a woman of God when someone starts speaking wickedly of God and his people. If I join in with the wickedness, I'm no different to the Philistine. But something rose in within him. This indignation rose up within him. How dare you speak of my best friend like that? He was talking about God. Who do you think you are? He never looked at his size. He probably had never seen someone so big. Well, they hadn't. No one had. But the anointing within you wants to defend the integrity of your God and his people. David then transitioned with this indignation in spirit from the boy to the man. He had learned in worship to adore him. In praise, he boasted of him. And God saw him and saw him from the inside out. He says, I don't look at the outside, I look at the heart of the man. God saw him from the inside out. And God, that's why God is constantly operating in our inside to eventually get to me on my outside so I can be a witness of his goodness and his glory. He will continually working on the inside of you and me so my heart gets transformed and changed to becomes a heart after God. Then all of a sudden, the army of God starts rising up. In other words, when someone starts mouthing off about my Christianity and what I believe, I won't stand there and smile and just say, well, I'll just love them like the love of the Lord. There is an answer within you to their problem. There is a solution to their need locked up inside of you. Amen. And if they don't receive it, move on. Take no offense, just move on. God began to prepare him so that through him he would bring hope and deliverance and restoration from the oppressors of God's people. 1 Samuel 17, 23 to 52. Let's turn there in your Bibles, please. I have not put it up. 1 Samuel 17, 23 to 52. Some background. I've already told you, he's asked you to do the cheese. In verse 28, David's elder brother got angry with David because But he saw a cause. He saw a cause. 1 Samuel 17, 23 to 52. 1 Samuel 17, 15 to 22. 1 Samuel 17, 23 to 52. Now, my daughter's taught me, been trying to teach me to read for years, so bear with me. She goes, Dad, you lose track. Put your finger under the words so your eyes follow your finger. But the words are so small, my finger covers them. So please bear with me while I try and read this to you. Then as he talked with them, there was a champion of the Philistines of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistines, and he spoke according to the same words. So David heard them. All the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. So the men of Israel said, have you seen this man who has come up? Straight away they're worried about his size. Surely he has come up to defy Israel, and it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches. He will give his father's house exemption from the taxes of Israel. So if you're a man after God's own heart, you're tax exempt. No, not really. Then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, what shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? Did David mention the size? No, he didn't. Did he mention what he was speaking? No, he didn't. That they should defy the armies of the living God. And the people answered him and said in this manner, so shall it be done for this man who kills him. Now Eliab, his older brother, heard when he had spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was aroused against David, and he said, why did you come down here? Can you just imagine him? Why? Why have you come down here, you little runt? Why have you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? As if he was really worried. You never ever read where Eliab looked after the sheep himself. I know your pride and insolence of heart. And sometimes, you know, when you're confident in God, some people think it can be pride. But it's not pride. It's confidence. I know your pride and your insolence of heart, for you have come down to see the battle. And David said, what have I done now? Come on, give me a break. What have I done to you? What have I done now? Is there not a cause? Then they turned from him toward another. And then he turned from him toward another and said the same thing. And these people answered him as the first ones did. Sometimes, you know, you got to be careful of the company you keep. Because sometimes they're not speaking the right thing to you. And you need to turn from that and go to another. Amen. Now, when the words which David spoke was heard, they reported them to Saul. Let no man's heart fail, that's what David said, because of him. Your servant will go and fight this Philistine. Don't fret. Don't get upset. Don't worry. I'll go and do it. This 17-year-old little boy. And Saul said to David, you are not able to go against him. Now, I want you to listen to the two things Saul said. You are not able. Your soul will always tell you you can't. Because your soul is made up of your mind, your will, and your emotions. Your soul will tell you, you can't do that. Don't be so silly. You can't do that. This is what Saul says. Where am I up to? I can't remember. 33. You are not able to go against this Philistine with him, for you are, the old King James say, but a youth. You're just this. Straight away, the soul will put limitations on you. Straight away, the soul will put limitations on you because it doesn't understand the things of the Spirit. Straight away, limitations. And sometimes, just sometimes, we limit ourselves because we're walking in the soul and not in the spirit. And if you hang around the soul long enough, it will try and convince you not to move. Don't do anything. Stay safe with us. Just admire him from the corner. Say, wow, what a big bloke this is. They saw the big problem. David didn't see the problem. David saw the indignation. How dare they defy my God? Because when you've been alone with him and you know him and you understand the love he has for you, you will not allow nothing to stand in between you and him. You will defend them. Husbands, do we defend our wives? If you don't, talk to me after. We defend them in honor. Amen? Are you with me? But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went after it. He didn't wait for the lion to come to him. He went after the lion. Hallelujah. Don't just sit there and get robbed. Take back what the devil stole from you. Stand. Doing all to stand? Stand. Fight the good fight of? Hallelujah. I went after it and I struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it rose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck it until I killed it. Praise God. And this is a man after God's own. Your servant killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. Moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and may the Lord be with you. God bless you, brother. Go, may the Lord be with you. The problem was, the Lord was with him. David tried the armor on. I'm going to circumvent now. Tried the armor on. Didn't fit. And it will never fit. Someone else's armor will never fit you. You don't have to do what they did. If they got victory by standing on their head and doing three twirls and singing hallelujah on their heads, it might have worked for them. Doesn't mean it's going to work for you. If they got a way of escape from God for that, you can't copy what they've done. You've got to get to God yourself for the way of escape. David, every time he went to battle, asked the Lord how he should do it. One time God says to him, don't go in ahead, right? Because I'm going to cause the mulberry trees to start talking. I mean, how ridiculous is that? No, we're not going to fight them. God's just going to invade the mulberry tree tops and he's going to cause them to shake and they're going to hear all these voices. And we'll go around them and we'll kill them from the back. Every time, got to give him a different strategy. You can't rely on yesterday's manna to feed you today. You've got to get your fresh manna today. And God might do something that might make you think it's stupid. But just do what he says. Hear me. Part of knowing the heart of God is obedience. Just do what he says. If he wants you to stand in the corner and twirl three times on your head singing hallelujah, do it. I doubt he would do that. Mind you, he did ask Jeremiah to lie down for so many days, naked, then all of a sudden flip on the other side. He did do that to him. Anyone named Jeremiah here this morning? What am I doing? So Goliath came out, ranting and raving like he did for 40 days. David went out. He picked five stones from the brook. And he used, what did he use? A slingshot. You will never read where David used the slingshot again. Never. He was in the moment. He used what God had given him in his hand. He went to the brook, five stones. Smooth stones. Five is the number of what? How come the stones were smooth? Washed in the water. Been knocked against each other, rubbed till they're smooth. Do you know that's what God's doing in your life? He's knocking you up against one another with the water of the word Sometimes he'll cause you to tumble, and sometimes he'll cause you to stay where you're at. But he will make sure every sharp edge on you will be rubbed off. And he will cause a smoothing in your spirit. Amen. David took, and it said, then David ran towards Goliath. Goliath did not run to him. You got to understand, this man is huge. In fact, they start bragging about how much stuff he's got. His javelin was like a weaver's beam, right? And the head was equal to 500 or 600 shekels of iron. That means it was the head, just the head of the javelin weighed 7.5 kilos. Just the head of it. Its length was 12.5 feet. And its circumference was on average 2 inches, 50 mil. It was a big stick. It was big. It was bigger than David. David ran towards him. This young man that is standing on the anointing of God, and that God was with him, that met his God in the middle of the bush, in the middle of nowhere, tending his sheep, stinking like sheep, met his God, sung songs to his God, praised his God all alone by himself. Didn't need an audience, didn't need musicians, didn't need a guitar, didn't need the drums. Just worshipped. Met God. Ran towards Goliath. The word Goliath literally means immigrant. Ran towards him. One stone. Guided by God. Flung it. Hit him. Knocked him down. But may I say this? It could have been a feather. It could have been a pebble. It could have been a mozzie. If God is behind it, you have the victory. If God is behind it, you have the victory. What I've got to do is be obedient, not look at the size of my problem or my issue, not hear the voice of my problem, my issue, but stand, doing all to stand, stand. And when God says move, you better move. And whatever's in your hand, God will use. God will use. Amen. And he will cause the enemy to flee before you. The enemy came down. David took his sword, cut off his head. Why did he cut off his head? Why, he's dead. Why did he cut off his head? Because the head speaks of authority. You've got to cut off the devil's authority in your life. Don't be passive with the devil. Don't be passive with darkness. Don't be passive with problems. Cut off the authority. Cut off their voice. Cut off their stand. And then all of a sudden something rose up in the rest of the children of God and they moved. And guess who fled? The Philistines. When David had done that, David not once said to them, why didn't you get up and follow me? He didn't say to them, why did it take me to do that? Why couldn't you do that? He didn't bag them. He didn't ridicule them. At all. He just did what God says. Amen. No bagging, no ridicule. And may I say it like this? In that army were David's mighty men. Because in 19 and 20, 21, David had some mighty men. He didn't bag them. Because you do not know what they're going through. You might not understand their fears. What God wants you to operate is in the anointing he's given you. Amen? And it will cause deliverance to those around you. They will see the goodness of God in your life. And it will cause them to get up and rise up and cause them to flee, not flee, cause them to chase their adversary so they have their own victory. Amen? Glory to God. David, a man after God's own. David, a man after God's own. David killed him with a stone, but it could have been a feather. What has God placed in your hand? What has God placed in your hand? Because He never gives anyone nothing. He has given you something. Every born-again believer on this earth has something from God. He never sent David into battle unprepared. The biggest victory David had was over himself. How he thought. Amen. And he was very concerned about what came out of his mouth. Because life and death. Preach it, sister. Life and death are in the power of the tongue, and you shall eat the fruit thereof. What am I speaking? Don't look at the size of your problem. Look at the opportunity God has given you. Don't look at the issues in life. Look at the possibilities that God wants to make. Amen. Because in life, sometimes you're just on stepping stones to the next area so He can bring you the victory. Joseph never expected to go to a prison from his father's house. Joseph never expected to be treated the way he was treated by his brothers. Then led to a prison. Then ridiculed and spoken horribly of by that woman. He never expected any of that. Yet you never see him revile anyone. Trust of the Lord. Let's stand this morning. Hallelujah. I want you to say this with me. I think sometimes Christians are too timid with the enemy. I want you to say this with me. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. I am more than a through Christ who strengthens me. When? In your battle. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear for your rod and your staff, they and He is with me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow. It is only a shadow. To have a shadow, there has to be a light. Come on. For it to be a shadow, there has to be light. In your darkest hour, the light is still there. Hallelujah. He's a good God who will cause you to have the victory. And in your victory, it will strengthen those around you. Amen. To walk the way you should walk. I don't have to dictate that to the people. I don't have to make that happen for people. All I've got to do is live it out and let them catch the anointing on my life. Amen. Every eye closed, every head bowed this morning. I'm going to say a prayer. You can join me or you don't. It's entirely up to you. But I want the more of God. I want the more of God. I want a heart after the Father. That I can be infectious to my generation. I acknowledge you this morning, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, I surrender this morning. I surrender afresh. And Jesus, knock the sharp edges off my life. Let that water of your word shape me, that I can be useful in my master's hand to see the Goliaths in life pull down. And I thank you You're raising an army in this hour. Not one of fear or intimidation, but of victory, power, and authority. I thank you. When he comes before me one way, you will cause him to flee seven ways. I believe that. And I receive that. Because you are God Almighty. All by yourself. There is none to compare to you. There is none equal to you. You alone are God. I love you. And I worship you. And I bow my knee before you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Can we give him some praise this morning? Bless your name. Bless your name. Hallelujah. He's a good God. Hear me. He's a good God that does good things. Even though they might seem sharp, it's a good thing. Amen. Please stay for a cup of tea and a cup of coffee. That's a good thing. In Jesus' name. Amen.